Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time listening to the Guelph Politicast, welcome. Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference, or are just making life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or subscribe through iTunes. Today I talked to Guelph Coalition for Active Transportation President Yvette Tendick and Nathan Poulton of the Psychology Show on CFRU. The topic is biking in Guelph. The summer is here, obviously, and that's prime time for getting out on one's bicycle and enjoying a leisurely ride on a sunny afternoon, or taking the chance to save some gas money and bike to work or to errands. Cycling in Guelph is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast, but first, my usual public service announcement. Guelph Politico is crowdfunded through Patreon, where you can contribute on a per-monthly basis of any amount you feel comfortable using PayPal or your credit card, and all that money goes to maintaining a locally sourced, independent media outlet in Guelph called Guelph Politico. Through your generous donations, you'll be paying to keep the Politicast going, as well as regular coverage of City Council and politics in and around and concerning the Royal City. For more details, click on the giant orange P on the right-hand side of the Guelph Politico page, or go to patreon.com/Guelph Politico. And now on with the show. Bill Nye, the science guy, once said that bicycling is a big part of the future. It has to be. There's something wrong with a society that drives a car to work out in the gym. There are many in Guelph that take that idea to heart and put pedal to the metal every day, biking to all the places that they need to go. So what are the challenges of being a dedicated bicyclist in the Royal City? What are the rewards? I wanted to put a couple of authorities together to discuss those and other questions. So the Guelph Coalition for Active Transportation, including its president Yvette Tendick, pushed for non-motorized modes of transportation in the effort to create less road congestion, more affordability, cleaner air, more of a connection with nature and community, and to promote exercise and health. Nathan Poulton, meanwhile, promotes cycling through his radio show Psychology, which includes riding conditions, tips, stories, and interviews every Monday morning on CFRU 93.3 FM. Sitting down with Tendick and Poulton, I had the goal to tap into their enthusiasm for two-wheel transportation, or one-wheel or three-wheel, as Poulton points out. How is Guelph as a city to ride your bike in? Are we doing enough to encourage people to get on their bikes? Are we keeping them safe enough when we do? All that and more as we talk all about bikes this week on the podcast. So I caught up with Nathan Poulton and Yvette Tendick this week in downtown Guelph.
My name's Yvette Tendick, and I'm president of Guelph Coalition for Active Transportation.
My name's Nathan, and I am not the president of Guelph Active
You have a radio show.
I have a radio show that's all about bicycles, and that's about it. I mean, there's more to it than that, but there's that. And it's about bike culture and things bike-related. And so I'm fairly interested in things bike-related.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be also a tricycle or a unicycle. Because you don't want to, you know, like, cut those people out.
Right. It's not all about two wheels.
No. I know, because a bicycle kind of, you know, but some people sometimes ask, what about tricycles? And I'm like, hey, I'm cool with tricycles.
Now that we've had that disclaimer,
yes.
I want to start by just, you've obviously talked about your radio show.
Yep.
So I'll get you to talk a minute about the Guelph College for Active Transportation. And it's not just about bicycles. It's about the whole package of not getting or not traveling around the city exclusively in your car.
Yeah. So our mission is to increase the quantity, quality, and safety of active transportation in Guelph. So that can mean biking, walking, rollerblading, however you get by on non-motorized transport. And also, so what we do is we do a lot of advocacy at City Hall to get some better infrastructure in place, and we also sponsor a lot of fun events to get people out on their bikes and walking.
Let's kind of phrase this as a state of bicycling in the city kind of deal. Talking about, you know, what's good, what's bad, what needs improvement. So let's start with the really positive things. For people like yourselves who cycle in the city of Guelph, what makes cycling in Guelph a pleasure? What makes you look forward to getting on your bike?
Well, it's a small city, for one, so you're able to get all around the city pretty quickly. You can do pretty much everything you need to do on a bike. And I like that there are a lot of bike paths in Guelph, so you can get around on bike paths, and you can get around on side streets quite nicely, and trails as well.
I would agree with the small city aspect, and there's also not a lot of like sort of heavy, which is also a negative thing. Is we don't have streetcars, and there is busing, like city buses, but there's not a lot of it. Mm-hmm. So I find that like you're not contending with as much of that. So that definitely makes it good for getting around. And there's lots of different ways everywhere. I mean, the only issue is we have obviously the river, but I mean, once you're on like one side of the river or you're on the, I mean, you're okay. And there's a lot of hills, but you can avoid the hills. It just takes a little longer.
The same can be said about the Hanlon too, because I live on the west side, on the other side of the Hanlon.
Yeah. Oh yeah. See, I never go to the west side. I know nothing against the west side.
But you have to go down to Edinburgh to get across.
Yeah. No, that is definitely a thing. Whenever you go like into the south end and you have to go across the Hanlon, and you're always like, it's like, which door do you take?
In terms of, you talk about advocacy, and I think there's a pretty strong advocacy base in Guelph for cycling. A lot of people are interested in the topic, but this is still, from my personal opinion, a city that seems to depend by and large on the personal automobile. And I'm wondering how you feel about that.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's growing, our cycling population, but we do have trouble at City Hall with people who want to keep the status quo, for sure. We did strike a victory on Woodlawn, but that's partly because it was a multi-use path and it did not impact car drivers. And it was a very, very welcome way to get from one end of Woodlawn to the other.
I appreciate that they actually did that, that there's actually a way to get from one end of Woodlawn to the other now with sidewalks, but it does seem like if you go and look at the multi-use path, it seems like they just laid it down and that's kind of all there is to it.
Sort of like something already there.
Right.
Right. Well, that's why I got put there.
Yeah, like there was already people walking and cycling that way. And yeah, I agree. Like it looks like it was just sort of like stuck there because it's like, well, that's kind of out of the way. But yeah, you go in and then all of a sudden it's like, you have to yield. Like I was in a city a few weeks ago and like the cars were yielding to the cyclists and you're sort of going, why is this person yielding? And then I saw the sign that says, you have to yield on like, it was like an old rail trail or whatever. But like when you're on it, it's sort of, you're totally inconvenienced and it's sort of like danger, watch out for the car. Like where it sort of goes across the roadways and stuff like that and the driveways. And that part, I actually did ride it the other week. And I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of neat.
There's also no signpost there that tells you how to use it.
No. No,
well,
and I don't know if like
it says
more
multi-use
paint pathway.
So
right, but
I think you're pretty. There isn't that much traffic on it, so I think you're allowed to go both ways on both sides, and you yield to pedestrians.
Yeah,
right.
It's pretty uncomplicated in that particular area.
Have either of you ridden in like Toronto and
I have not. I've ridden in Montreal.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good example because we're talking about a big city and you're talking about the joy of being in
Montreal. Well, I mean, Montreal is
super segregated.
Yeah,
stuff.
It's a segregated bike place. You can cycle all over without feeling danger at any point.
Unlike downtown Toronto.
Right. It's a little more white knuckle. I've visited a few times and I always take my bike. And I like, because if you have to drive there, you can like park far away and then cycle in, which is what I usually do if I need like the car or something like that, or if that's like a convenient way of going. But yes, it is definitely like, and people aren't as aware, sometimes. So I mean, I'm happy, like here you come, then you get back here and you're sort of like and it's super cool and you're like, oh, if I go this way and I go that way. And the other thing is, I know bike theft is pretty bad in Guelph, but you don't like sit in the cafe like watching like people like eye up your bike because so go, oh.
It's not, you don't find it dangerous at all, the traffic?
Well, traffic
in Guelph?
In Guelph, yeah.
No.
No?
I mean, it depends where you go. So if I'm heading down Victoria Road or if I'm heading down Edinburgh, I would probably take the sidewalks because those roads are four lane and they're busy.
Mm-hmm.
But you can manage a lot on side streets, and there's a lot of, on where there's bike lanes, I find it feels pretty safe.
I just know from my experience as a walker, doing a lot of walking, it's hard to feel safe. I mean, I feel like
cars were always creeping around the corner, leading on me to walk across the street faster.
It's funny you say that, because I ride my bike to work 8 months of the year, and 4 months of the year I walk the same way, and I find it more dangerous walking than
really?
It is cycling. I've had more chance of getting hit while I was walking. And it's at the intersections, people aren't paying attention.
Right. I don't mind riding on the road. And when I first started cycling, I used to ride on the sidewalk. And actually, I remember being in Cambridge and someone yelling at me for riding on the sidewalk. And it was, super dangerous, right?
Right.
And, I didn't know what
I was
doing.
Which part? The riding on the road in Cambridge?
I was riding on the sidewalk, which is also dangerous.
Yeah.
But, you just kind of had to do it. And the biggest thing I hear from everyone is that it's too dangerous to ride on the road, right? And the thing is, when you first start cycling, you don't want to do this, and the same thing, at first when you start cycling, you have training wheels, right? Then you take the training wheels off, and then you're riding on the road, and then you're traffic, and then, the cycle routes are great, and they help, and then putting paint on the road helps, and then, even segregated stuff helps, and sheros, and whatnot, but I think the core of it is, once you get more comfortable, then you're more comfortable doing stuff. It's the first time you drove a car, you didn't take it above 40 because you were and then you get, better at it, and then off you go.
Well, the only thing is, if you look at the statistics, there's some great statistics around people who will or will not cycle. So there's 3% of the population that are just like you, Nathan. They'll cycle anyway, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And there's another 7% that are like me. Once you put some painted lines on, they'll cycle all through the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another 60% of people who will cycle it only if they feel safe. So it has to be protected or separated lanes or whatever. And then there's 30% who, doesn't matter what you do, they're not getting on a bike.
And I would argue, though, the 60% could become the 3% with time. It's just when you feel comfortable.
Yeah, well, if I'm taking my 10-year-old to school, I think that it'd be nice for them to have a skateboard going.
I tow my kid on Victoria in the trailer, right on the road. I'm just that's where we're going. There's, I have a flag, and sometimes I have a little blinking light on the back. But, it's... Sometimes I just don't have time to take, the little trail. And the trail's great. It's a fantastic trail. But we wear a helmet on the road, same as we wear a helmet on the trail. They each have their own little issues, but for convenience sake, I'm on the road. And sometimes it's a little scary, and then, people pass a little close, but, I'd like to think no one's going to kill me because I'm riding my bike. I don't want to say, you take your life in your hands riding on the road, but
when your child is 8, son is 8 years old, you probably won't take him down Victoria.
So I think technically in Guelph, the bylaw is that as long as their wheels are under 20 inches, they're allowed on the road. Or
they're
20
on the
inches.
Sidewalk.
Yeah, or excuse me, on the sidewalk. Yeah. So I'd like to think, I would ride on the road, they would ride on the sidewalk. But, there are lots of neighbors that don't even have sidewalks. It's funny, being a parent, a recent parent, I now notice where there's no sidewalks, and I go, why is there no sidewalk there? And why you would even have a community? What is a community without that kind of, forget about bike lanes, whatever, but without a sidewalk, so that's another aspect of it. But yes, I agree that, but by then, Victoria will be paved, right?
You mean with the bike lane?
With the bike lane.
Yeah, the bike lane.
5-year plan,
if
it, actually happens.
Yeah.
You train your brain differently when you're a parent, I guess, and start looking for the hidden dangers or...
Well, and you can only, we hit a pothole, and then, the chase in, a little trailer thing, and it, flipped over the other week, and... We were going pretty fast, and it was kind of scary, and he was all strapped in, and I went, and I was waving my hand, and I was all scared, and I ran back, I dropped the bike, and flipped him back over, and he's just hey, what's happening, and we were good, and people come rushing out of their house, and I'm just, but yeah, it was fine, and that's the thing, so it's just part of what you're doing, but yes, we definitely look for the day, and I have the flag and the light, but yeah, it's. We look for safe areas to go, and when it's possible, by all means. But sometimes, when I do my radio show, my wife can't, look after the baby, we hit Victoria. I live in the ward, we hit Victoria, and we come back down Gordon. And Gordon's can be as questionable with people taking, crazy turning and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, safety is paramount, but at the same time, it's convenience is, for me on my bike, it's wherever, wherever the road is, I ride it.
I take it you both are exercise safety on your bike, you have the lights, you have your helmet, you use your hand signals.
Always wear a helmet.
Yeah.
Because it's just, why wouldn't you? I've actually been hit twice now. Both times I was not wearing a helmet, and was kind of my fault both times, but that's when I was, like, much younger, and, like, you know, and then now I'm just kind of like, you know what, whatever, it's a helmet, you just wear it, you don't worry about it, and the lights is, like, it is so scary, like, if you're, like, out a little later than you should be, and then you're like, oh, wait, I have no lights on my bike, and then you're riding home, and then you're like, wow, it wouldn't really, like, suck to get smoked by a car, because I didn't have a light, and knowing that I have, like, lights at home and stuff like that.
Hmm. I do wonder, we do hear sort of horror tales of people on their bikes getting hit, and it does sometimes seem like it comes from a place of people not taking that safety seriously. Do you think some cyclists take the safety thing for granted? It's just like,
I suppose,
hopping on the bike and away you go.
I think the same people who take cycling for safety for granted are the same people that if you put them behind the wheel of a car, you wouldn't want them driving it either.
Mm.
And I
similar mindset.
Oh yeah, absolutely, taking chances and all that. So I hear that complaint, but it seems like it's mostly a certain group of people, and I'm going to stereotype here, and I'm going to say it's probably mainly males between the age of, you know, 16 and 25. They're mm-hmm. taking most of the chances, mm-hmm. but you know, I could be wrong.
And school bus drivers.
But as far as riding on the sidewalk, people will hop on the sidewalk.
That's
on and off the sidewalk.
So dangerous.
Depending on how comfortable they feel on the road. So.
Right.
I just find like when people are like, I find all the time, especially like the high school and stuff like that, they'd be riding on there, and the kids will be like on and off the road, and you're like, what are you doing? Like, are you on the road? Or and then you know, and the other thing is like, as a driver, especially like, so like down like Stevenson until they fix it, I presume they're gonna do something down there. Like, it's tight in there in the car. Like, so it's tight with cars and bikes. And you have, like, both people, like, mixing together, and then they're, like, on the sidewalk, they're off the sidewalk.
Well, Stevenson is one of those perfect roads to have a separated, a protected lane.
Yeah.
Because that road feeds 5 different schools, if you can believe it.
Yeah.
There's 5 different schools out there.
Now that we're talking about it.
So, and I actually wrote an article for the paper trying to get that kind of introduced, and that was introduced as an option when the time came, but they didn't go for it as a possibility. Of one way of organizing the bike lane. So now it's just a painted line, but I suppose that's better than nothing.
Yeah,
but it's only for the high school kids. And
painted line in like one spot.
But it's going all the way through.
It is going all the way through. Yeah. But it's kind of like you're riding it, and like people who aren't from Guelph commented on that all the time. Like, what on earth is that thing you have there? It's like, it's literally like a parking space. Why?
But it's, so years ago that bylaw was put in place that whenever they reconstruct a road, they put in a bike lane, right? So that's why you've got this kind of hit and miss sections that are done, and the sections that are done aren't done, but that in a period of a few years, it'll all be completed,
Except for Speedvale.
There's going to be a multi-use path apparently down Speedvale.
Eventually.
Yeah.
When they also put in like the Emma Street Bridge, you know, and all the rest of that. I'm just like, I think paint on a road is a good first step. And I'd rather see, like, every time they do road works, slap some paint on the road rather than do nothing and then just kind of hope for the best. And unfortunately, Guelph is, you know, like the roads that actually go straight through town, you know, like, there's, like, nothing on most of them. Or there's, like, whatever it is, 124, you're coming in and there's, like, a bike lane, and then there's no bike lane. And then, you know, by the skate park where they just built it, there's, like, no bicycle infrastructure except for the trails.
Crazy.
Yeah, so you have all these kids coming and going on bicycles and scooters and whatever. There's no bike lane. I mean, and you've just been working on that road for like how many years? It's like, why didn't you put a bike lane on there? I mean, even if it was something, it's like someone's gonna get hit there again, but this time it's gonna be like a little kid, and then, you know, people are gonna be like, oh, why didn't we put a bike lane there?
I guess that's one of the problems is we're talking about infrastructure, and it's, you know, we're all kind of painfully aware the changes in infrastructure happen in fits and starts, and we're talking about an atmosphere where, you know, you guys are encouraging more people to get on their bikes, and you know, the changes that need to be made in order to encourage safe cycling are, you know, 1, 2, 5 years away. And
well, I can still manage to get around, and I'm an older person that to describe myself, but anyway, I'm not that you know, I don't like to take a lot of chances, and I still get around the city pretty nicely through a combination of bike lanes, side streets. There's a lot of wonderful, quiet side streets.
Mm-hmm.
Trails, like the Trans-Canada Trail that runs through the center, from north-south to the center of town. So there are a lot of options. It would be really nice if we can start getting a protected lane so that on our arterials that we can feel safer. But in the meantime, doesn't mean that you have to sit at home and wait 3, 4, 5 years to get on your bike. You can get on your bike now, you can get around safely. And the more people on bikes, and I notice that in different parts of the city, when I come downtown, I never feel at all unsafe because everybody's used to bikes.
Yeah.
Mm. So the more people you get on bikes, the safer it is. And if you go to a part of the city where they're not used to bikes, they give you less space, they tend to be ruder, they tend to not, you know, not give you so much space to go around. So they're not used to people on bikes. So that's the trick, getting out on bikes and finding a way around to where you need to go and where you don't have to hit a lot of roads that you feel unsafe
on. Or they mock you for being on a bike.
I can say I've never been mocked. But
oh, I've been mocked for being on a bike.
Yeah.
But
It's funny though, actually, on our way down here. So I was, you know, running slightly behind schedule, so I was kind of like hauling it. And who do I see, like, right in front of me? Because, you know, like, we're coming to downtown, and there's the funnel of, like, a different route. Like, you know, like, I presume she came off side street, and, you know, I'm, like, blasting down. Actually, I guess Elizabeth has a bike lane now. And then, you know, all of a sudden, it's like, you're stuck there, and then all of a sudden, you're just traffic, and, you know, like, people say, okay, there's bikes again.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, I think, like, having, if they want, you know, like, downtown and whatnot to flourish, having, like, good ways to get downtown is going to be a good way.
Yeah.
And because crossing that bridge on, was at Mackinac? I don't think there's not even a lane there. It's kind of, you just kind of take your chance and
well, there's
the best.
That's a crosswalk.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few gaps, that's for sure.
But that's kind of like, if you want people, you know, down, because they were talking about, I've seen some of the stuff they were talking about doing downtown, like with bike lanes, and it's great, but, you know, like, not everyone lives downtown. And the majority of people, like, who are cycling, like the kids and the, you know, whatever, they don't live downtown. Like, they may come downtown, you know, but having, like, access that's easy and safe is, I think, paramount.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. It's, you know, you're mentioning the ease of taking side streets and, you know, there's more safety there. It kind of flies in the face of, you know, what we're taught in, like, the shortest distance between two
Well,
places.
If I'm in a hurry,
right?
So I have two ways to get to work, and I work on Stevenson.
Right.
And you're talking about the construction and all that, and the gaps, right?
Yes.
So if I'm in a hurry, I go down Stevenson, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit traffic here, it's going to be busy there, whatever. And when I'm not in a hurry, because I take this parallel street on a side street, and I merrily go along.
Yeah.
So you need the proper infrastructure on the arterials, because not everybody's able to take the time, you know, or wants to go some kind of convoluted way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice if you've got it, but if you haven't got it, then the side streets work well.
Right. I'm just kind of getting at the thing about biking, but bicycling to me is kind of like a more leisurely way. It's, you know, let yourself have the time. And I realize that's not always possible. It kind of goes against the car culture, in that car culture is about getting exactly where you're going as quickly as humanly possible.
And the biggest thing possible.
That too.
In the lap of luxury.
Yes.
You know, with the AC cranked. And yeah, I mean, in bicycling, it's like cycling in general is sort of seen as, you know, you're like having an ice cream, you know, in the park. And then, you know, you're, oh, okay, that will go down here and do this. And yeah, and there's definitely times for that. And I love picking my way through all those little neighborhoods up top there, like off Metcalf. Like, it's great. But yeah, sometimes you definitely just have to hit Stevenson.
Well, and some of the statistics are interesting, too, that they've done in cities like Toronto and Vancouver and other places around the world, where they find out that where you have proper biking infrastructure, the downtown areas that lose their parking, the businesses are upset in the beginning because they lose their parking spots to the bike infrastructure, but then they find out that they end up having more business.
Right.
And the reason for that is, if you're in a car, you might go once every couple of weeks downtown or go buy something. It's such a pain to shop or whatever. So you may spend more when you do, but cyclists tend to go more often. You can go every day because it's nothing to park.
Yeah,
right.
So you're buying more, spending more money, actually, when you're on a bike or walking. So it turns out they really embrace the bikes, the bike infrastructure, the walking infrastructure once it's in.
Right. The parking thing leads me to address one of the things we haven't talked about yet, which is theft.
Yeah.
There seems to have been a lot of bike theft. I don't know if maybe it's just especially notable because a lot of people aren't social.
One of the highest
yeah. Okay. So yeah. it is more of a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And Amasano's it's actually moved outside of it used to be like a lot downtown.
Right.
But actually, I was in the park yesterday, and there was like a bike tied to a picnic table or whatever, and like the wheels were gone, and so it's starting it's moving into the random suburbs now. So I find it's rampant everywhere, and it's such a pain because you got to carry all these locks, and now I've got the trailer, so now I got to lock the trailer up, I got to lock my bike, I find that is it's really and then you're is it secure enough, and it's not necessarily you have a cheapo bike and someone steals it, then you have to replace the bike.
Right.
That to me is the big thing. And when I bought a better bike, my big thing was I will always lock it up. Because for years I just leave it out of the side of the grocery store, and then I'm sure it'll be there when I get back. And it always was. But, I don't know how you curb it. You can keep it inside.
Our group contacted the police over that one. Because there's a place in the States, I'm thinking Wisconsin, but I'm not sure exactly, where they had a plan where they put GPS bikes out. So they told the citizens, oh, by the way, we have some bikes planted with GPS in it, so just so you know.
Mm.
And the theft went down. So we contacted the police about that, and they said that they do that once in a while, but they don't seem to go the extra step of actually telling us that they have planted GPS bikes. So maybe that would be, the police has to take more charge of it also, I guess there's such thing as pneumatic clippers. You would know that more about that than me. So I think the only real kind of bike lock that works well is the U-lock, right?
But even a U-lock, you can still just grind it off.
Yeah, but it would take longer, right?
It would take longer.
And be noisy. Sounds like
and would be
someone would notice.
Someone would do anything about it.
It wouldn't be something you'd do during the day while you're somebody's downtown at Planet Bean.
I notice a lot of is people stealing parts. There's a couple of students who live across the street from me. I know it's the other week their bike didn't have a front wheel. Now, they may have taken their front wheel off, but I would imagine someone has come by and stolen it, which is, that to me is the big thing. And it's people taking parts off of bikes.
Right.
Although they don't take a whole bike.
Right.
So then you have U-locks and cables, and because you want to lock all your little bits and bobs together, that is kind of where you sort of get more clear, how much, and how long are you going
to
be?
The police has to take it more seriously.
Well, it is definitely looked at as being a non-important issue. The other thing is I think more bike parking would help because there's lots of people who are putting their bikes kind of in questionable spots.
Right.
Mm. Against posts and...
People should at least have the option to lock up their bikes properly.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So they're talking about in that Wilson Parkade there, having a bike lockup. So at least it's being monitored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Although people steal bikes at the, bus station. Which is, there's people there all the time. And it was Crossland Police Station at one point.
Well, aside from fixing the bike theft problem, which sounds easier said than done, in terms of what immediate changes you want to see to make cycling in Guelph more pleasant, more accessible, is there anything you would like to see changed in the immediate future? Perhaps if cost is not an option, as much as any time we talk about these things, cost is... an option.
I'd like to see sharrows. You can put more paint, more lines on the road by all means, but if you just put some bicycles on the road, I think the message will basically get out there that, there's bikes here, we have to share the road. And even if it's not in a convenient area to put the bike lane, just so people know, the bikes are here and the bikes will go, and they have, the ability to ride whatever to share the road. I think that would be, at least then we're kind of going, you go to Kitchener, mm-hmm. and it's wild, the stuff. Every time I go there, I'm amazed at how much work they're putting in. And it's little things. It's not a big, huge project. But a little bit of paint on the road, at least says, hey, bikes are here.
I worry, though, that Sharrows would be a license for the city to maybe take the easy way out from time to time instead of putting in proper bike infrastructure. And one thing that Kitchener is doing, for example, they've got those really cool artistic bike racks and things like that. They've put a lot of money in their bike infrastructure, and they've even got a protected lanes coming in now. They just voted that in. So Guelph, I think, is starting to move in that direction because we kind of were ahead of the curve, I think, for bike infrastructure. So we were putting in the painted lanes before other communities.
Right.
Now other communities are skipping the painted lanes and putting in the protected ones, so the bollards or So we need to put in more protective ones.
The only issue with the separated stuff is in the wintertime. Because if nobody clears it, then you're back on the road.
Yeah,
if you're back on
cleared,
the road.
You're right. It has to be cleared. Yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean.
But right now, they don't always clear the painted lane ones.
No, and they don't. But at least you can, you know, like, be on the road. There's not,
yeah,
like, some, like,
true.
Giant cement divider in the way.
Yeah. That's part of it.
That's my only issue is with them is in the wintertime. I know that other communities, they clear, like, their rail trails and stuff like that. And so that helps. But if nobody clears the lanes, then at least with the paint, everyone can still use the road.
But you know that they even clear our Royal River Trail.
I know. They didn't used to.
So we have the machinery for it.
Yeah.
You're a winter rider.
I do. I ride all year.
I used to do that too, but I've gotten lazy. sorry to say.
I don't know. You know what? It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
It helps to have a dedicated bike that you don't like.
Yes.
You know, because it just gets worse and worse every year. And then every year I clean some of the rust off and I put a little bit of spray paint on it, you know, and I just hope for the best. It's, you know, 9 times out of 10 is perfect. And it's fine. And you don't have any issues. Yeah, there's some freaky days. But, I mean, it's freaky days for everybody, right? And,
right.
Yeah, that's when, like, taking, like, side roads and sort of staying off, you know, and there was, like, stay off the main roads, you know, and you're just like, eh, you know, it's not, you know, and they don't plow those either. So, you know, I mean, what's... So, but, yeah, I think riding, you see more and more people every single year riding all year.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why people don't do it, though.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps to wrap up, for those who don't know the joys and the experience of cycling in Guelph, what do you think we can do in terms of getting more people on their bikes and out and about?
Well, one of the things our group does is we have events now, and our events that we either run ourselves or help run are those for people who are the non-athletic types. So you don't have to wear any special equipment to them. You can ride slow. So we had a Magnolia ride in the fall. We ended up getting 55 people, and we just low roll through the streets of Guelph. And our next event of the same type is in October. We're going to have a Tweed ride. So the idea is to dress in fancy clothes, find an old bike, and ride around the city, and we end up at a Royal City Brewery. So we're going to have some fun with that one. And another thing that I suggest is that you just go out and ride. Just try it, you know, a couple times a week for work, or for to go to the store, or to go play tennis or whatever, and you might find that you enjoy it. And at my workplace, it started with just me riding, and now there's four of us. I think once people see that it's possible, they will start riding themselves.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think it's just get out there and ride, and just, you know, just do it. And yeah, whether or not it's to the park, or it's to the corner store, or just to downtown, it's just getting out there, moving around, and then sort of seeing that it's doable. And then when you start seeing it, the more people that are riding, the more, like, people are take aware of, oh, hey, look, there's people riding. And it's also getting rid of the stereotype that, you know, bicycles are for children and all the rest of that. But it's a very viable way to live.
Well, and my husband and I, we do with one car because of it. And
yeah.
I don't know if
we have one car.
So we would have to have two cars if I didn't ride all the time. So it actually helps eliminate a car to a cost of about $500 or $600 a month. It's considerable financial savings.
Absolutely.
And you can do everything. Like, I can go grocery shopping. You know, I can, like, take my kid places. You know, we can go swimming. You know, we can do that. You can go anywhere. I mean, yeah, you need, sure, a little bit of, you know, like, know-how and whatnot. But, I mean, you can either have, you know, panniers or a knapsack. And, like, you can have a trailer. I mean, like, it's just endless, like, how you can do it. And you just start small. And then as you say, hey, you know what, if I had, like, a better jacket for the wintertime, I have a better jacket for the wintertime.
Exactly.
But, I mean, you already own all the clothing. Pretty much to, like, live in Canada. I mean, you can probably ride your bike. You know, you don't need anything fancy, and any bike will do. You know.
Before we end, I consider this the ultimate test of any bicyclist in Guelph. You made it up Gordon Hill on your bike?
Oh yeah.
You?
Oh yeah, no problem.
There you go. So do you want to tell people how they can find the Guelph Coalition of Active Transportation?
Yeah, well, we're all over the place. We are on Facebook, Guelph Coalition for Active Transportation. We're on Twitter. We have a website, gcat.ca, and our email address is activeguelph@gmail.com.
And your radio show?
Our radio show is Psychology, and it's on Mondays from 7 to 8 on CFRU 93.3 FM.
So look for that, listen to that. Yvette and Nathan, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And once again, that was Yvette Tendick of the Guelph Coalition for Active Transportation and Nathan Poulton of the CFRU show Psychology. And to put in a plug for our local government's efforts to promote cycling in Guelph, you can see the city's cycling master plan at guelph.ca/bike. The city also has the Recycle Bike Reuse Program, which allows residents to get a refurbished, previously enjoyed bicycle from the city's Waste Resource Innovation Center. Just call 519-767-0598 to learn more. And that's it for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host of the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can also listen to Open Sources Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. There's a Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And of course, you can donate to the Guelph Politico Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And as every week, thank you so much to everyone who has contributed so far. It's very much appreciated. For all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.